the behavior of love. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. The behavior of love. First Corinthians chapter 13. And let's begin with the first verse. 1 Corinthians 13. If you have it, just throw a hand up and put it back down. I know that you're all right. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Okay, Co-Crow?
Yes.
Okay. Verse 1, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And Apostle Paul is speaking hyperbolically, meaning in an exaggerative tone, but he literally is meaning that. If you did have all, you knew all mysteries and had all knowledge and had all faith so as to remove mountains, even if you could, not that any human being could ever get to that point, but even if you did, he's talking about the supremacy of love. If you had all of that, as I said, in the world, you would be filthy rich, and they would make a mountain, not just a statue. They would put you on Mount Rushmore. You'd be the next person. They give you your own mountain. But he said, in God's economy, you can have all of that and not have love. He said, if you do, verse 2, I am nothing. Verse 3, and if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, that's why charity, the King James rendering of this word charity, you know, to us that means to give to the poor. That does not equate love, because here is our definition of charity right here. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Lord, help us see the greatness of love, the preeminence of love, the prominence of love. Because love is patient, love is kind, and I keep saying it, because you can do all of those things and not be patient or kind. You can be jealous, you can brag, you can be arrogant, because that's what you can do. But if you're walking in love, then you'll be patient and kind, you won't be jealous, you won't brag, and you won't be arrogant. Verse 5, you won't act unbecomingly, you won't seek your own, you won't be provoked, you won't take into account a wrong suffer. You won't rejoice in unrighteousness, you rejoice with the truth, you bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things in your love. That kind of love never fails, never comes to an end. It's powerful. And it's liberating. You want to be free at last? Free at last? Thank God Almighty. Walk in love. You'll walk in freedom. Verse 13. But now faith, hope, love abide, these three. But the greatest, or the greater of these, is love. I'm led to go back to the beginning to kind of remind us. The title again of this series is The Behavior of Love. I gave you some synonyms concerning behavior. The performance of love, the conduct of love, the deeds of love, the activities of love, the manners of love. But I never gave you a definition. Let me give you a definition of behavior. Simple. Behavior is a range of actions and mannerisms made by an individual. The range of actions and mannerisms made by an individual. Another one. Behavior is the way in which one acts or conducts oneself, especially toward others. The way in which one acts or conducts oneself, especially toward others. That's behavior. So the reason the Lord, I believe, chose the word behavior, because behavior acts a certain way. So it is patient and kind, but then the certain way that it doesn't act, it is not rude and unmanly. It's not, you see what I'm saying? All of that comes up under behavior, the way you act, your actions, your mannerisms, the way you conduct yourself. That's why we have performance, conduct, deeds, activities, and manners of love. Write it down. Just review. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. There's a command to love. 1 John 4:7-8. Let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Wow. If you're born again, you are born of God and you know God. How do you know that you know God? By your behavior. By your constant, consistent, and continual obeying of God's commands. 1 John 2:2. This is how we know that we know him. Because we keep on keeping his commandments. Let us love one another, for love is from God. And the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That's powerful, isn't it? I love the no holds barred way in which the Lord speaks to us. He just flat out says it. He says, the one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now, we who do know God, who are truly born again, we don't love like we should. But in hearing that he who does not love does not know God, that means that everyone who knows God loves to some degree. Now, we all can get better. But there isn't a loveless Christian. Did you understand that? Yes. If we know God, we're loving. Probably not, and definitely not. I mean, no problem. We're not loving like we should. It's unfortunate that the only group of human beings who can love like God don't. We don't. It's not going to come through anyone else, anywhere else. The only group of human beings that can exhibit and display the love of God are those who are born of God and know God. The Lord is telling us, let's get cracking. Let's go. Let's love. Let's show love. We cannot walk in love if our number one aim and goal and objective in life is to look out for number one. Right. No, that's not going to work out. In the words of Jacob Michael Knox, it's not going to work out. Because a looking out for self person cannot walk in love. It's impossible. Cannot. And that's what the Lord, he's redeemed us from that mentality. And thank you, Lord, is right. Because that's an enslaving mentality. That's an imprisoning mentality. That is a, you want to be miserable? Make that your goal, to look out for yourself above all others. You're going to be a miserable human being. Just write it down, still reviewing Romans 5:5, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's given us. Romans 5:5. The love of God has been completed action. I think it's the perfect tense in the Greek. Past completed action with continuing ongoing results. The love of God has been poured out within our hearts. It's already done. That's good news. When he tells us in 1 John 4, beloved, let us love one another, we can do that because Romans 5:5 has told us we already have the love of God within us. That's good news. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's still get excited over that, not pretentiously, but no, please, let's not ever go, I heard that 100 times. You hear it 100 more times. Because it's going to take probably 200 times before you even start to scratch the surface of what he's really saying. I got the love of God. The originator of love. God is love. That's why he loves. Because he is love. We are human. God is love. So from that God, our Father, who is love, ontologically speaking, as far as just being in existence, he then has the nerve to pour out that love, not just drip it, pour out to overflowing in our hearts. His love in our hearts. Oh, thank you, Jesus. As they would say in the island, thank you, Jesus. Well, we got to slow it down, Alfred Fellow Orton Jr. Just got to slow it down. Just meditate on that for a moment. We got God's love from the God who is love. He gave us his love. It's not unreasonable to love your enemy, to love those who you ain't getting along with. That's not an unreasonable request, not at all. Not only is he love, but then he demonstrated his love by dying for us when we were enemies of him. John 13:34, new commandment I give to you, John 13:34, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Now there's the quality of the love. This is how you use that love. He didn't say just love one another, period. Nope, he qualified it. Even as I, Jesus, have loved you. Same thing with husbands. We talked about this. Husbands, love your wives, period. Nope. Even as Christ loved the church. That's the quality of the kind of love that you're to love your wife with or love one another with. And you know, Jesus loved us perfectly. Well, I can't never love perfect. No, just work toward it though. Let's be honest in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let's be honest. We're not loving to the capability that we can love. We can do better. Can we do better, Word of Life? Yes. Yes, we can do better. We should do better. We're expected to do better. You know what's holding you back? You, me. Because the love is there. Can't say, well, the love is not, you know, that love is flawed. They need to send that back. Somebody, you know, when they put that love together, that love car was broken. It's missing a headlight. I can't see nothing. Nope, this is God's perfect love poured in our hearts. And he commanded us and then told us, by this all men will know that you're my disciple, if you have love one to another. That's how they're going to identify you. And the disappointing part is, because by this, us showing the love of God towards one another, is how all men will know that we're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. The flip side of that is when you're not showing love, they're not going to know that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. And therefore, you're bringing shame to the gospel and to the glory, to God's glory. And we'll cause the word of God to be blasphemed or evil spoken of. The Bible ain't true. That ain't right. Look how you acting. And you call yourself a Christian. Those are some of the most damaging words ever. Because they're saying that because you're not acting Christian. You're not acting godly. So whenever they say something like that, that lets you know what, you're not acting right. You're bringing shame to the name of Jesus. What's the number one commandment in all of the Holy Scripture? You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and marked at, and with all your strength. Matthew 22:37. This is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Those knuckle-headed Pharisees, they didn't like those. They didn't like that. See, they taught pieces of the law. They taught love your friends and hate your enemies. Jesus said, but I said to you, love your enemies. Do good to them. Pray for them. Feed them. Give them drink. That's how you'll show that you are a child of mine, a disciple of mine, that God is truly your Father. It's not about healings and doing all these great things and soul winning and all. It's the powerful, constant act of showing love. That's a powerful person. That's a mighty person in God's economy. Boring to us, ho-hum, he just, look, he opened up the door. I opened up doors too. He opened up the door for the person. Yeah, but you got to realize that's an act. Maybe you don't like that person. I told you that. If you don't like Arabs and the Arab is coming behind you in the grocery store, hold the door open for him. That's an act of love. Simple, but true. You're not letting your feelings and your emotions get in the way of performing that which God has commanded you to do. Yeah. The greatest commandment is all love. Not have faith, we are to do that. Not perform miracles. Not have with the number one command is love. And the second is like it to it, love. Yes, it is. Do you ever stop to think about that? All these great things, but we ought to have faith. We ought to get knowledge. We ought to get understanding. All of those things. But the number one commandment, it's to love God, and number two, love everybody else. I told you those two commandments cover the entire Ten Commandments. Love God, commandments 1-4. Love everybody else, 5-10. It is sometimes as I get older and as I see my sin more, the older I get, It's a wonder how we can ever be in anyone else's business. Because dealing with me is a 45-7, not 24 hours, 45-40 day a week, 9 million days in a year. I mean, it's just all the time. It's a consuming thing. How do you have time to be meddling in anybody else's affairs? Wow. Romans 13:10, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Let's define agape. We've spent a few months since we've gone over it. Again, let's go back on what it is not. Agape is not romantic or sexual love. It is not mere sentiment or a pleasing feeling about something or someone. Thank God it's not, because you'll never walk in love. And you cannot love your enemy, because you're not going to feel good about your enemy. You're not going to have warm and fuzzies about your enemy. And thank God, because then the request to love, if you got to feel warm and fuzzy, would be an impossible situation. So thank God it's not based on feeling. It's not based on emotion. It's not based on sentiment. That's why you can use or see a stranger. Maybe you don't like white people as a black person, but you see a stranger who needs the door held or needs you to stop so they can cross and go into the parking lot, into the store, that you speeding up, almost hitting them. Nobody laughs at that, but that, man, you shouldn't have. That's good. Yeah, you override your feelings. It's not sentiment. It's not a pleasant feeling. It does not mean close friendship or brotherly love. It does not mean charity as associated with only giving to the needy. That's not what it is. And thank God it's none of that. Because all of that is fleeting. Emotions change every 5 seconds. Yes, sir. You feeling good, and then 5 seconds later, you ready to kill everybody. Now let's look at what agape love is. What it is. First and foremost, it is sacrificial at its core. Agape love, first and foremost, is sacrificial at its core. I start with that because that then removes you from the first 80 burners on this oven. Remember the back burner? Yep. That puts you on the back burner. Sacrificial. You cannot sacrifice and be self-seeking. You cannot. It's sacrificial. It is a sacrifice of self for the sake of others. A sacrifice of self for the sake of others. That's why being married is so wonderful. Because you get to practice this not every day, but every day. More than every day. You're sacrificing daily for the sake of your number one neighbor. If you're married, your number one neighbor is your wife. If you got children, after that, your children. The Lord has spoken through Sister Rolanda Danielle that marriage is the most sanctifying relationship on the planet. And family is second. Sacrifice of self for the sake of others. Even for those who may care nothing at all about you and who may even hate you. It is not a feeling. It is not a feeling. It is not emotion, comma, but a determined act of will. It is not a feeling. Comma, it is not emotion, comma, but a determined act of your will. And that determined act will result in you giving of yourself to and for them. Love is the willing desire, a willing desire to put the welfare of others above your own. It is a willing desire to put the welfare of others above your own. Notice the phrase willing desire. In other words, you are on purpose, deliberately planning, premeditated acts of giving for someone else. You don't accidentally walk in love. It's not something that you just fall into. When you love, it is something that's purposeful. It's deliberate. It's intentional. It's premeditated. What's a premeditated? You mean I'm thinking ahead? Yes. What I'm going to think about myself? Brother, you do that already too much. What do you mean when? Out of 24 hours, you probably think about yourself 23 and a half. Hey, we got to alter that. That's the problem. A willing desire to put the welfare of others above our own. You read it, just write it down. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing. Do nothing. Don't do anything from selfishness or empty conceit. But with humility of mind, regard and notice and esteem one another as more important than yourself. That's love and acts. That's the mentality of love. Chapter 2, verse 3. Thank you. Yes, sir. When you are willingly desiring to put the welfare of others above your own, it leaves no place for pride. It leaves no place for vanity or arrogance. It leaves no place for self-seeking or self-glory. Why? You're too busy looking at the other, looking at others and wondering, how can I please them? That's why you can please a stranger. See somebody needs help. You know, you'll do, and I keep going back to just being in the public square, whether it be going into a store or you know, you pushing your shopping cart down the aisle and maybe someone else needs to turn. Just hold on to them and let them turn. Just simple things like that, or just doing things to look out for the other. Whenever you go out the door in a grocery store, you know, because those doors close automatically, just get in the habit of just looking behind you, see if somebody else coming behind you. Just simple things like that will help to cultivate selflessness. Because selflessness has to be cultivated. It has to be. It's done through progress. It's a process. Yes. You got 9 million coins, and you just throw it on the conveyor belt and then the cash. You got to pick up each one. You know, like, just hold on, man. Put it in his or her hand. Just simple things to look out for the other to better their situation. Leave no place for that. Agape love is an act of choice. We are commanded to exercise even on behalf of our enemies. I said it is an act of choice, which we are commanded to exercise even on behalf of our enemies. Matthew 5:44. But I said to you, love your enemies and pray for them. Matthew 5:44. And of course, the supreme example of agape love, if you will, is God's love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God demonstrates his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. While we're yet sinners. Romans 5:10, for when we were enemies, we're reconciled to God. When we're enemies, he puts his love on display. We know love by this, that he laid down his life. That's how we know love. That is followed by action. Amen. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten son. He loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. That's our review. Kind of want to remind it. And you know, also, I didn't really give a definition of love. I really didn't give a definition of love per se. I gave kind of what it is and is not. A simple definition might be is agape love, the love of God, is a love that cherishes and prizes and counts dear others because of their value. I'm going to say this again. It cherishes others. It prizes others. It counts others as being dear because of their value. Well, what's their value? Their value is the fact that they were made in the image and likeness of God. Hold on now. Their value, that's everybody. Bingo, you just got it. That's why you're to love everybody. If you're a Christian, the world then just became your neighborhood and everyone in it, your neighbor. Why? Because everyone has been made in the image and likeness of God. Look at Genesis. Let's go to Genesis 9. I want to show you something. Genesis chapter 9. Look at verse 6, the Noahic covenant. Genesis chapter 9. Genesis 9, pick at verse 6. Whoever, by the way, this is, God is for capital punishment. There's no argument about it, nothing back and forth. What's messed up is how it's doled out. But God is for capital punishment. He's the one who brought capital punishment into existence. That's his command. Be courageous in saying that. Taking the Romans 9, it's Genesis 9 and 6. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. Then he gives a reason. Because in the image of God, he made man. That's why. And this is how serious God takes his image being in every single human being. That if you take that person's life, then God will forego his image in you and take yours. That's how serious God takes his image being in every person, being made in his image and in his likeness. It is that serious. Yeah, if you take the life of an individual who's made in the image and likeness of God, because he's made in the image and likeness of God, God says, then the state has the power to take your life. Now, the problem with capital punishment is with sinful human beings who are run by an institution where Satan is over. Remember, he's the god of this world system, or the judicial system is under his power. It's not doled out right. Innocent people are being killed. Black and brown people are being disproportionately killed and so forth. But that doesn't mean that capital punishment is wrong. The use of it is wrong. Yes.
And you mean with murder, not self-defense.
Right. Right. With murder. That's right. This is only talking about murder. Yes. This is talking about murder. Yeah. Self-defense is justifiable homicide. We're not talking about that. And if you look at the how God sets out the rules for it, he said there must be two or three eyewitnesses in Deuteronomy. See, witnesses today mean, you know, you get your doctor going to testify for, they count them all witnesses. In the Bible, they saw the actual crime. So God's way of doing it is airtight. Not even one person. Must be two or three people who were there when the murder happened. Then, if that is in place, then you're to take the life. That's not what's happening here in today's society. And that's why I looked at, wow, you mean. You ain't right. And then we Christians, we kowtow up under the pressure and crumble, and we are shrinking violence, understanding, no, God is saying, this is how God counts dear his image. You take that life, and two or three people saw you take that life. See, go through all of that. Then that's just. That's just. Why is every human being valuable? Because they are made in the image of God. Look at James chapter 3. James 3. James 3. Verse 8. James 3 and 8. But no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Verse 9. With it, we bless our Lord and Father. And with it, it being the tongue, we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. You see why he counts that as a foul thing to do? Because you're cursing a man who has been made in the image of God, and you want to bless God. God said, hold on. If you're going to bless me, I need you to use that same blessing on my image. So when we talk about agape love, it is a love that cherishes and prizes a person because they, just by virtue of the fact that they are created in the image of God, and that is enough to warrant your godly love toward them. Again, it has nothing to do with emotion, has nothing to do with feeling, and everything to do with the understanding of who they are. Every person ever created is worthy, has dignity and has worth, and is worthy of dignity and respect. And that includes the unborn. Remember, they're unborn, not unpersoned. They are a person. You're quiet in this Presbyterian church, but that's okay, it's true anyway. Yeah, they are a person created in the image and likeness of God. God gave that life. God gave that life. You know, when two people lay with one another, that's not the only reason why a woman gets pregnant. It is that plus God giving them life, the fertilization of the egg. And when he has chosen to do that, at that moment, in God's eye, that is a person. That's why he says things like, I know you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He even knows before we were formed. Or he told Apostle Paul, while you're in your mother's womb, I called you. Told Jeremiah the same thing as a prophet to the nation. He counts those as people with full plans already for their lives. It's the devil out here saying, it's got to be formed in certain this, that, and that. Even now, it doesn't make any difference. Now you can be full term in New York and Illinois. You can tell them right on the due date. Yeah, on the due date. Massachusetts joined it too. There's a few other states that you can kill them on the due date. So they don't even try to hide it anymore. That it's not a full human being. We don't care. We just want the woman's right to do whatever she want to do. That's demonic. That's sinful. And Al Mulder refers to it as a culture of death. That's a very good way to say it. Because that culture is now slipping into things with physician-assisted suicide. It's going on a whole nother level now. Now people just want to, almost getting legally, it's suicide. They're just having somebody do it, and it's legal now. You get somebody else to do it for you. Used to be you were terminally ill and Kevorkian and that era. Now you might just be tired. But that's what it always does. The Satan pushes the needle to get further away from the things of God. And it's so disheartening when the pastors fall for it and teach the congregation. That's what's just so disturbing to me. We're just kowtowing. We're so intimidated and we're too political in our aspirations as pastors. We want to be accepted. You live under being accepted and need to be loved and kowtowed, you're going to fail as a pastor. You're going to fail miserably. You got to stand in there, teach the word, and then let the chips fall where they may. If everybody leave, then I still got chairs here to preach to. Period. This has to be the attitude. We need to stop giving in to the pressures of the world. Because all we're doing is creating a weak body of Christians, which is what we have at an all-time high. The weak meter got to be broken. It's so far off. Yeah. 11th commandment is not thou shalt be nice at the expense of all the other 10. It's not a commandment. So we made in the image and likeness of God. It's about time to stop. Because now we're going to get into how it behaves and the mannerisms and how it performs. So just quickly while we close, we see that love is patient. And when you begin to look at the behaviors of love, notice again what's not in there. No emotion, no feelings. It's all about action. What it does and does not do. Don't get a hold of that. Because what the Satan will do is to convince you, because you aren't feeling a certain way. You're not all warm and fuzzy. It is actually keeping us from walking in love. So we're actually sinning by allowing our feelings to dictate rather than our will. Our ability to choose and determine what we're going to do. We let our feelings dictate that. It didn't mention any patient, kind, not jealous, doesn't brag, not arrogant, not act unbecomingly, don't seek its own, not provoke, don't take into account of suffering wrong, does not rejoice in the righteous, rejoice with the truth, bears all things, believe all things, hope all things, do all things, that doesn't fail. Nothing about feeling or emotion. You can do all of that without even liking a person. You can do all that without even liking them. You can do things that are useful. Give them poison-free food. Poison-free drink. You just love them. Hold the doors open. Just love them. You can do all of that. You don't have to even like them. But in God's economy, he's applauding. Using my love to override how you feel. And I love the song. Doesn't matter what I feel. Doesn't matter what I see. My hope is in the promises. I'm standing on your word. Doesn't matter what I feel. Doesn't matter what I see. Doesn't matter what I think. It matters what I do, saith the Lord. It matters what we do. Some of you need to go to cousins, uncles, aunties, go to friends, family members, and get it fixed. Carrying grudges, in sin, haven't forgiven. That's a word. Go to him. Make the phone call. Send a text, something. It matters, folk. Don't no longer wish them a happy birthday when you used to, on at least a text. I ain't sending them no birthday. Hope you had the worst birthday ever. Tell me. But when this happened? 45 years ago, but I'm still mad. Well, you gonna wish him happy birthday? Well, he did. You know, he ain't even around no more. And you still mad? Troubling from the grave. We laugh, but it's true. People are dead and gone. They still mad. Doesn't matter what you feel. Doesn't matter what you see. My hope will always be in your promises. And I'm going to say your commands to me. You commanded me to walk in love. You're doing more damage to yourself before God than that person ever did to you. Let me quickly say, I know in here there are those who have been wrong severely. Yes. I'm not talking about that. I mean, even though you still got to forgive, you've had serious wrong done to you. Physically, been assaulted, mentally, emotionally. I think some of you have been even hospitalized as a result of things being done to you. So I understand that. So I'm not downplaying that at all. But even then, I got to still stand in pastoral role and say, you still got to forgive. You still have to walk in love toward them. And you don't plan revenge, because love doesn't seek revenge. Love does what Romans 12 says. It steps out of the way. It makes room for the wrath of God. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That's my business. I'll take care of that. I saw what happened to you. I saw what happened to you. I saw what happened to you. I saw what happened. God has seen, heard your cry. Remember this covenant, you his child, and he knows all about you. Amen. Those four things are always going on all the time. He's always seeing, he's always hearing, he's always knowing, keeping his covenant, and he always hears, always. He does those four things all the time, even when it doesn't appear to be. See, that's when your faith kicks in. You can't go by what you see. I go by what he said. Amen. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
By what he said. Let's walk in love, saints. Let's walk in love. Not emotion. Thank God. Not good feelings. No. Not warm and fuzzy. No. Be best friends. No. Obedience. A commitment. A choice. A will. And you're walking in love. Yeah. And you do it sacrificially. And God is applauding. One last thing. When you allow your feelings, I just said it earlier, say it again, to dictate or influence your actions, then you're in sin. Well, I ain't going to do that. What they did to me, I ain't going to do that. Well, he said, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I mean, you do good. God will take care of. Yeah, you do not have to worry about it, she said. God, you got to worry about it. Because God, he said, that's my business, retaliation is. Well, what's the big attitude? Well, you really want to ask that one? Because Matthew 5, 11 and 12 says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. And they say, all manner of evil against you falsely, but it's for my sake. For great is your reward in heaven. The reason that you rejoice is because of the fact that you have a great reward in heaven. Not necessarily what they did to you, because you were severely hurt and damaged. Severely. Severely. You got them. I still been saying I haven't done it yet. I don't know if the Lord has. But anyway, there's some testimonies that you need to hear from folks in here. Some testimonies. Testimonies. It's a wonder y'all sitting up in there in your right mind. Seriously, literally. You should be crazy. And I mean that. You should be outside your mind. But by the grace of God, you're still here, clothed in your right mind, serving God in spirit and in truth. Amen, Ms. Palmer. Yes, yes. Father God, you've done wonders in our lives. You moved on Sister Orlando during our time of exhortation and the call to worship to say, remember what you've already done.
Yes.
To keep remembering what you've already done. Remember how he brought us out of the miry clay and set our feet upon a solid rock.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Father, everyone in here for the most part has seen some very dark nights. But you're the God of the dark night.
Thank you, Lord.
You're the lily of the valley. You're the God of disappointment and heartbreak and heartache. You don't say, well, they disappointed. I can't do nothing with that. No, your word says nothing is too difficult for you.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Father, we don't have to worry about you doing your thing. We got to be concerned about us. And our response to when we've been wrong, for real, for real.
Amen.
And our response is to love back, to be patient, to be kind. Don't be jealous Don't brag. Don't be arrogant. Don't be rude. Self-seeking. But continue to believe and hope and endure. That's what you call us to do. To love those who brutalized us. To love them. Help us. No, thank you for giving us your love right now in our hearts. And we, with your help, will walk in that love toward everybody. Regardless of ethnicity or culture or gender or socioeconomic standing, we will walk in love and display your love before a watching world. This is what we do, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.